Blog Talk Radio.
When I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company? My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. Oh,
Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. You ought to bless his name. Bless his name and act like you know who God is. Will you worship him? I like the verse where he says, will you worship him just because he's worthy? My, 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 my. It is Praise Break Friday, y'all. Y'all know what to do. It's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King, and I'm in the studio located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a show for you today. It is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready. Today's topic of conversation, y'all, hope y'all ready for this. Effects of praise, the effects, the EF effects, not the effects, but the effects. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the effects, or FX, as they like to say, but the effects of praise. This is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. I'm excited about this thing. Let me give you all the rundown. Yeah, we started a little late today, y'all. It's always something going on. I ain't going to even get into it right now. But we started a little late. But here we go. Here we go. This is pretty much what's about to go down. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one. Simply push one. Yeah, you should have. You should have. You should have. If you're already on the line, if you're already on the line, simply push one. If you're already online, simply push one. You can be a part of today's show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, it's area code 347-934-0546. If you are want to email the show, you can email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. You can find us there, Ustream.tv. We'd love to hear from you all that way. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Would love to hear from you all that way. You can email the show. I think I said that already. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Definitely would love to hear from you that way. Subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account or just do a simple Google search. Subscribe to our podcast by simply going to iTunes and doing a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Hit the subscribe button. Doesn't cost you anything to subscribe to the podcast. It is absolutely free, and we would love to have you all be a part of it. And then last but not least, you can also go to blogtalkradio.com. That's where everybody else is listening at, blogtalkradio.com, and just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Man, look, so much is going on. So once again, we get crazy news from overseas. There's been another terrorist attack in London. Terrorist attack in London this morning on a crowded train in the middle of their rush hour. Then we got Hurricane Jose. Hurricane Jose is on, and I'm not trying to rhyme or nothing, but Hurricane Jose has now gotten back up to hurricane strength, and it's rapidly approaching Puerto Rico. Like, Puerto Rico really needs another hurricane. It's approaching Puerto Rico, and now and then is on a track to hit the southeast coast again. So I'm not sure what's really going on, but my goodness, there is a lot going on with these crazy hurricanes. So we definitely want to keep our eye on that, and just that God would redirect this next set of storms that are coming, and it's going to hit people's lives. But as I say all the time, storms are simply temporary. Storms are simply temporary. They're a temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. Trials of life are simply a temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. I would tell anybody that right now, whatever you're going through, it is just a temporary inconvenience for your further and permanent improvement. Amen. Amen. So let me talk about something real quick. So Monday, when we were on the show, Pastor Parks was in studio with us, and I saw him on Facebook say he should have came in. Yeah, you should have. The door is always open. You know, that's on you, Doc. we were talking about this little girl who was found in a freezer on over the weekend, and a bunch of Facebook videos that went out and all kind of stuff and a whole bunch of different versions of stories, and we still yet don't know the truth, but a whole bunch of different versions of stories. I'm just gonna read some comments because this activist that's out there right now, supposedly it says we need the pioneers to teach a class on activism. if the family, let me this is my brother Parks, man. I wish you were here. I really do. My brother Cornelius Parks just posted this on Facebook. He says, we need the pioneers to teach a class on activism. And then Ira Acker responded. He says, no one can ever accuse an activist of grandstanding or ambulance chasing if the family seeks you out for your help or guidance. A thirsty activist who always imposes himself in every cause, uninvited, will soon self-destruct. My. That's good right there. So apparently, and I'm just gonna go off of what I'm hearing, and I wish anybody want to chime in, you can. This is we can talk about this for a few minutes. The phone number to the show is area code 347. 934-0546. Again, is area code 347-934-0546. If you want to call into the show with your comments, or I'll just read your comments, those of you watching on Facebook Live and everywhere else. Andrew Holmes is his name. I believe that's his name. I am at a loss. Apparently, there's a story going around, and this is just kind of all over the place, y'all, so y'all bear with me. There's a story going around where Andrew Holmes, who is an activist here in the city of Chicago, supposedly saw versions of the tape, of the hotel surveillance tape, just for refresher for those of you watching and listening for the first time. There was a young lady found in the freezer. A young lady from the west side of Chicago was found in a hotel walk-in freezer, apparently froze to death in a freezer at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Rosemont, Illinois. That's the story right now, okay? That's the story that's out there right now. I just want to read the updated version of this. It says, an attorney representing the mother of a woman found dead in a walk-in freezer of a Rosemont hotel said Rosemont police have only provided them snippets of video. Attorney Larry Rogers Jr. said in a press release that none of the snippets of the video provided by Rosemont police show Kanika Jenkins walk into a freezer on her own. Rogers and Sam Adams Jr. are representing Jenkins' mother, Teresa Martin. Serious questions remain as to how she ended up in Crown Plaza Hotel freezer and why it took a day and a half for the hotel to find Kanika Rogers. Rosemont police said they sent surveillance footage to Martin and her attorneys electronically to view. Police said Martin and her attorney are welcome at the police station to review video and ask any questions they may have. The story goes, her body was discovered in a basement walk-in freezer early Sunday morning, roughly 24 hours after she was last seen at a party on the ninth floor of the hotel. Drugs and alcohol were reportedly present at the party. There are up to 47 surveillance cameras in and around the hotel that captured Jenkins' last moves. Andrew Holmes, a community activist in Chicago who viewed the footage Thursday. I'm going to pause right there and read this again. Andrew Holmes, a community activist here in Chicago who viewed the footage Thursday, said the young woman was alone the whole time she was in the basement and may have been trying to get out. He says she may have thought the walk-in freezer was an exit. This is what Holmes said. From me looking at the video, she was trying to find her way back upstairs to the lobby, and she was checking the doors just to find her way upstairs. Holmes said, police said from the beginning of the investigation, they do not suspect any foul play involved in the young woman's death. Protesters have been around the Crown Plaza Hotel for over the last 2 days, demanding more transparency from police in the investigation into the 19-year-old's death. Many said they suspect a cover-up. Police said they handed over the hotel video to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, which has not yet ruled on the cause and the manner of death. Let me, I don't know Andrew Holmes. I met him. Let me say this. I'm not going to say I don't know him. I met him once. He did teach a, and Pastor Parks, if you still listening, man, feel free to call in, man, and you can help. You can come on in and join in on this, man. You know the number. Just go ahead and give us a call. I'm at a bit of a loss. I sat in on a first responders class with him. I'm part of the group of people on here on the west side of Chicago in the 15th district, actually, who are part of a group of people who are on a first responders call list. And part of my whole, y'all know I was doing the whole joking thing about the community police academy and all that stuff. Part of that was dealing with families in times of crisis. Now, like I said, I met Andrew Holmes. It was over a year ago. He did a first responders class here at the 15th district in Chicago. And, you know, I didn't have an issue with him. He taught, you know, how to go in and how to talk with families and stuff like that. But here's where. That's where my knowledge of him starts and ends in this hour and 45 minutes I spent with him in this first responders class. That's it. Since then, there has been all types of stuff online, and I'm seeing all these different responses from people. And y'all feel free to call in. Y'all know the call-in number, area code 347. I know, David. Y'all know the door is always open. Y'all don't need no invite. Just say, hey, man, I want to come on and just come on. I mean, y'all know how I do this thing, you know. apparently, there's a lot of questions that are asked. And you know, here's the deal with when it comes to community activism. And this is my take on it and my experience in it. This when you are trying to help a grieving family, first of all, you have to be invited, meaning someone who the family knows or someone who feels like you can play an integral part reaches out to you and says, hey, this family is going through something. They may need you. And at that point, you show up. Okay. At that point, you show up and then you try to be your best, the best you can to be an intercessor, to be a mediator for that family. A lot of times you're asked to go, and one of the things that I learned from the police academy is it's not that you're there to do anything else. A lot of times there's when it's gang-related violence, drug-related violence, your job is to try to keep the family from going out and seeking revenge because emotions are at an all-time high. People are angry, and they want to go out and do something. And the police are the last people that some of these families want to talk to. They don't trust the police. So your job as a person of the cloth is to be a mediator. But you're mainly there to be there for the family. You're not there for the police department. You're there for the family, and you're there to make sure that you can be some sort of a comfort to them. You're not there to be a glory hound. I'm going to say that again. You're not there to be a glory hound. What do I mean by that? You're not there to speak on behalf of the family unless the family asks you to speak. You're not there to go talk to the police unless the family asks you. You don't go jump in front of the cameras and all because you see 2579 and Fox and CNN and all. Nobody asked you unless the family asked you. It's either the family or the family's attorneys. And that's it. So all these community activists who, again, here is the deal. I'm not even sure why the police, if it's true, why the police would show Andrew Holmes a video. And why is it that what he saw on the video is completely different than what the family and the family's attorney saw? Already something don't sound right. My brother put this up earlier about somebody said something about thirsty activist. Park said, we need pioneers to teach a class on activism. This is the post he tagged me in, and I started seeing it. And Ira Acri, Pastor Acri, God bless you, says the first lesson is humility, and it's not about you. It's not. You don't go showing up at somebody's house because, oh, here is an opportunity. And it is the equivalency of ambulance chasers. That's a term that was given to lawyers who literally would follow up behind an ambulance on its way to an accident, and then the lawyer would run out and beat the paramedics to the scene and say, hey, take my car because I can get you some money. I think it's highly questionable that this quote unquote activist, Andrew Holmes, and y'all can check him out. He's been around Chicago quite a bit. He shows up when something major happens. He's always around. And that's, I don't know much about him. Y'all can Google the brother. I mean, like I said, I sat in an hour and 45 minute class with him. The information he gave was insightful. And it was some enlightening information. But outside of that, I don't have a relationship with dude. So maybe some of you all can speak more to it. Absolutely. My producer wants to chime in, and whenever she gets on, she can come on in. But I'm at a little loss as to this story. Let me put it this way. There's so much more being added to this than I think is necessary, and it's heightening the emotion. Because again, I don't know, and I'm waiting until I see the family actually speak on television, on their own. I don't need to hear Andrew Holmes or any other quote unquote, and you see me in air quotes, those of you watching me live on Ustream and Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else. I'm talking about when I see the family and their real representatives speak, I don't need to hear from anybody else. It's just a little suspect to me. And now the report from the attorneys of the video that they saw is different from what the quote unquote community activists saw. Now, why would the community activists get to see more video than the victim's parents and the victim's attorney? I'm going to just let that marinate with y'all for a minute. Why would he get to see more video? It ain't your daughter. Come on. This ain't your child they found. Why would they? Who in the hell would give you permission? I'm sorry. Come on, y'all. All right. I'm just a little confused as to the quote-unquote media game that's being played. You know what I'm saying? And Andrew Holmes, because he has a rapport with the media locally, he's gonna be out there, and part of him being out there is they're gonna listen to him when he speaks, and it's more airtime for him. Now I've seen a whole bunch of posts about Mr. Andrew Holmes over the last couple of hours since last night. And all this other stuff, and people are asking the same question. Why was Andrew Holmes allowed to see the video? Now, again, did the family call him in? Did someone from the family say, hey, let's get Andrew involved? I don't know. But Andrew is saying things that the family ain't saying. And if you're saying some stuff that the family ain't saying, who are you really out there representing? Or once again, are you out there being a glory hound? Are you out there trying to shine the spotlight on yourself? I'm just asking a question. Y'all help me over here. I can be slow sometimes. So somebody help me. What is his purpose in all of this? You want to chime in? Y'all know the number. Area code 347-934-0546. Area code 347-934-0546. Apostle David Rogers said he didn't see nothing. based off of his report and the report that we're reading from the family's attorneys, somebody got their story mixed up. The family attorneys are saying they got a snippet, and nothing on the snippet that they saw shows the child walking into the freezer. Now, I'm just going by what the family attorney said. But then Andrew says, I saw a whole video of the girl walking all by herself, trying to find a way out. And maybe she walked into the freezer thinking it was a way out. Now, I don't know. I ain't never, you know, back in the day, let me say it like this. Back in the day, I used to drink. I used to get my drink on real, real good back in the day. And I've never been that drunk that I would not know that I was walking into a freezer. So for him to say she was walking into a freezer, thought that she could get out on the other side and locked herself in because that's what he saw in the video. But yet the family is coming out saying that there's nothing in the video snippets that they saw that shows her walking into a freezer. Now, help me. Yo, anybody? Bueller? Bueller? Anybody? Comments? Questions? I don't get it. I had no intention on talking about this today. I really didn't. I just wanted to let it go. But when I see foolery, you got to address foolery. Now, some of y'all might know Andrew. Any of y'all actually know Andrew Holmes? Have y'all ever sat down with him and talked to him? I mean, is you know, like I said, I was around him for an hour and 45 minutes. So I can't give you my assessment of him is based off of a 1 hour and 45 minute class that he taught. That's it. That's all I know. That's all I know. Feel free to chime in. Area code 347-934-0546. If you decide to call in, push 1. That'll get you over to my producer, and she'll get you on live with me. But if you got comments on Facebook Live, let me make sure my Ustream people are up on. Y'all good on Ustream? Okay, yeah, y'all good over there. It just boggles my mind. And this situation is so sad. And watch this. Now we're spending time trying to get stories straight. So now the focus is on whether or not the community activist is lying about what he saw. Who sent you? That's the question. Ain't that what they say? Who sent for you? Who called for this dude? I see y'all coming on in the room, man. Oh, God bless y'all. Let me speak to the people in the room real quick on Facebook Live. Real quick. On Facebook Live. Pastor Parks, I see you. Hope the Barber, God bless you. Greening Angel, I see you. Adam Dow, what's going on? Katina Palmer, Tanya Melton, Tamika Creative Hands, Jackie Fort. Y'all got some new names on here. God bless y'all. Jackie Fortner, Yvette Quinones, Deanna Catlich, Kathleen Savon down in Georgia, what's going on? Cosetta Dean, I see you. Big Dre Parker, what's going on? Justin Moore, Gwendolyn Wesley, Cedric Towner, what's up, Austin in the house? Shauna Simpson, I see you. God bless you. Apostle David Rogers, of course, Karen Betts Davis, Ann Johnson, Kim Tony, Robert L. Johnson. What's going on, Bishop, Pastor Robert Johnson? Thank you again, man, for that invitation. Had a wonderful time. Sheldon Wilson, God bless you. Tamala King, Nelson Menu, Shaq M. Pina, and Fitzgerald Hardy. Oh my God, Robert Johnson. Robert L. Johnson. Oh my God, you got to be Angela's husband. He said the right price will make you see things that's not there. Oh Lord, I'm going to let that sit right there. He said the right price will make you see some stuff that's not there. I'm just saying, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Something don't smell right. Something don't smell right. And 9 times out of 10, you know how it is when you walk in your house and you smell something ain't right, you need to do some investigation. See, I think somebody need to start investigating this situation. I'm going just based off what I'm reading. And I've read a whole bunch of different versions of this story. And Andrew's story, Andrew Holmes' story, don't add up to the other stories. I don't hear nobody. I hear birds chirping. His story don't add up to the other stories. This is still a tragic situation, but it seems like people are now trying to get their come-ups. They're trying to come up and get 15 minutes of fame based off of this tragedy. At the end of the day, a 15-year-old girl is dead, and a mother has lost a daughter. That's the end of the day, and we don't know why. We don't know why, but this is a situation. And I'm going to say this. I've heard other people on the radio today. I ain't going to call no names because I try not to go that far, but I heard people on morning shows today now coming back trying to backtrack on some stuff that they said based off of what Andrew Holmes said. But now in the last, when was this updated on this Channel 7 website? In the last, let me do a quick refresher here. This was just refreshed 10 minutes ago. Updated 10 minutes ago. So in the last 10 minutes, we done found out that what Andrew said versus what the family's saying is two different things. So I'm going to ask the question again, Brother Andrew Holmes, community activist. Did y'all look him up? did y'all Google this dude to see who he was? No? Y'all didn't? Y'all didn't take the time to check him out? I just find it real, real strange. And then watch this. This happened in Rosemont, right? Yes, this is a child of Chicago, but this happened in Rosemont. And this is not a Chicago police screwed up issue. This ain't a Chicago police investigation. This ain't got nothing to do with the Chicago police at this point. So I'm asking the question, and it's a real simple question. This is a Rosemont police investigation. And you know, you ever been to Rosemont, Illinois? That's out there, you know, by the airport. And the Crown Plaza, all these hotels are right near the airport. They're mostly places where, you know, people go because of travel. My question is, I'm hoping, rather, most attorneys have good investigators, right? Most attorneys have good investigators. And I think they need to find out exactly what's going on. And I believe that's part of what we're trying to figure out right now, what's going on. But there needs to be a serious investigation, not only into the Rosemont police, but they're still releasing information. So I'm not going to jump off the handle with the Rosemont police. I'm not even going to jump off the handle with the Crown Plaza hotel. But my issue is all of this extra information, this non-information, and what appears right now to be false information that was released by Andrew Holmes. Because I saw people putting his post up. Like it was law. And I believe it was a couple of days ago that they were putting his post up. And now it's one of those things where what exactly are you doing, dude? So I'm a little these press conferences and him being out there on the thing, let me read the post that he from the desk. He said, this is what Andrew Holmes wrote. He says, thank you all for sending in all information and video about this young lady who was found in the hotel over the weekend. Let's keep the family in prayer, but we still need answers for how she died and how she got in the freezer. Right? That's what he said the other day. But then there was a post, which now for some reason I don't even see on his page no more. But there was a post up that's... There was a post, I don't know if it was from his Twitter feed or it was from somewhere, where this guy said that he watched the entire video and that he saw this young lady walk in the freezer. So let's just keep our let's just see what's what and we gonna keep this little girl. At the end of the day, it's this little girl and her family that's important. It's not Andrew Holmes is a footnote in all of this, but it's a footnote that needs to be discussed, because if we find out that there is fraud, that there is some suspect information going on with all of this, then yeah, we need to. I'm just gonna say it like that. This brother needs to be shut down, because you know a lot of people are community actors because they can get grant money, and when you're out on the street, you know that's part of your resume. So anyway, I thought my producer was gonna chime in. I don't know if did you still have something you wanted to add. Feel free to jump in. I'm trying to bridle my tongue. Yes, Latanya, what you got?
So somebody brought up a good point, saying Andrew Holmes should not have been, you know, the one to have viewed the tape. How come we didn't use a younger activist instead of him?
Why wasn't there a younger activist? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So it also brought to the mind of like the church setting that that when we don't never use our young people to do things, and so that's so I was like there's a correlation. Instead of using an older, didn't use a younger person to look at that video. There are younger activists out there, out there working for working for the city and everything, and they understand what's going on, and they understand the language and the lingo. Yeah.
I don't even know why. I guess and thank you for the comment. I don't even know why. I'm trying to understand. And again, we don't know. Like I said this before. We don't know if he was invited by the family or someone recommended him, or he just decided to show up. And that truth is going to come out.
He wasn't
eventually
invited.
Oh, we
he
do know that.
He was not invited.
Oh.
He wasn't invited. He talked to her. He had talked to her, but then I believe the police went to him. That's my belief system, that the police went to him. He took, you know, to stop the whole protesting that's going on and everything else like that. I believe the police went to him and everything else like that. That's why the mom is so outraged at him. Like, you know, how can you say these things? You just were in my home, and you go see a video that I'm not ready to see yet. And the mom is sick, and so she has to see it at her own time.
Right. Right. And again, here is you're dealing with the Rosemont police. So you're dealing with the Rosemont police who have people from Chicago at their hotel at a hotel in their jurisdiction protesting. So they're thinking somebody from Chicago probably called Rosemont and said, hey, y'all need to get this brother and let this brother go out there and let him play mediator. The Rosemont police had no business inviting him in to see that video, if he actually saw a video, because based off what the attorneys are saying, and the attorneys are saying, they didn't see the same video that he saw. And why would they only send the family a snippet of the video? Whatever you let Andrew see, you could have put that bad boy on the flash drive or sent it in an email and put it in a zip drive or whatever and sent it to them, and he could have watched, and their attorneys could have watched it on their own. So, yeah, I'm done with it for right now. I'm gonna keep watching. I'm gonna see what comes out of it. But y'all just pray for the family, man. Y'all pray for the family of Kanika Jenkins, and pray for her family. Pray for her mom. I believe it's Teresa Martin. I believe it's her mom's name. Continue to pray for that family and everything that's going on. But the fact that the Crown Plaza might be losing money throughout this situation, that's the last thing that we need to be worried about. The fact that they might be losing money because of some protest, that is the least of important things at this point. But if Andrew Holmes is found out to be fraudulent. Now, I don't know if some of y'all on Facebook got some other issues with Andrew, because I'm seeing some of y'all are really going in on this dude. But unless he is found to be fraudulent, if he is found to be fraudulent, then he needs to be shut down. And what's going to be sad is if the good works that he has done, if he has actually done good works, all of that stuff is going to be tainted because you decided you wanted to be in front of the camera and you wanted to be the first one that got out there to speak. All of that's going to be an issue. Absolutely going to be an issue. So I am just, I'm going to just sit back and watch. And y'all pay attention too. For those of you not in the Chicagoland area, just pay attention to this. Just keep paying attention to this. So I think it's going to be something that we really need to pay attention to. So we're going to leave it alone for now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, y'all, we're going to continue the conversation. Because I got to ask y'all a question. It's going to be a question, just something to ponder, right? I'm going to ask y'all a question. I ain't going to tell you what it is yet, but it's going to be good. We'll be right back, y'all. TT. Hello. Peace. We'll be right back, y'all. Chicago situation here, and what happened with this young lady, Kanika Jenkins. And we definitely, like I said before, we want to keep her family in our prayers. Amen, amen, amen. So look, y'all. So it's some crazy stuff that's happening, right? Let me and put this out there and ask this question. With everything that's going on in the world right now, right? With all of the violence, right? You got all the violence. You got violence where we are here locally. You got hurricanes back to back 2 weeks in a row. Jose is on the way. Just turned back into a hurricane. Its path is towards Puerto Rico and the back towards the southeast coast of this country. All of that happening. You got a lunatic in North Korea just poking at the lion, you know, constantly doing what he's doing, threatening nuclear war. Us, we have an unstable man in the White House who, you know, I truly believe is bipolar. We have an unstable man in the White House who I truly believe is bipolar. All of that happening. You have all types of killings and violence going on. Oh, I'm sorry. Then on the West Coast, You have millions of acres that are burning right now, just millions of acres of land that are just on fire because of forest fires and fires that have just sprung up because of the dry heat and everything. So it looks like turmoil everywhere, right? Here's my question. With all of that going on, why are the churches still empty? With all of that going on, why aren't people flocking into the church? That's my question. With all of what's happening in the world, with all of everything that I just mentioned, and then probably stuff happening that there's stuff happening in other countries that we don't even hear about because our news media doesn't deem them as newsworthy. But people who believe in Jesus are being killed daily in foreign countries. With all of the stuff that's going on, why do you believe that people are not flocking to the house of the Lord? Why? Anybody? Thank you. I see one answer right here. The church is no longer a safe haven. Wow, that's the belief. That's the belief that the church is no longer a safe haven. That people can't depend on the church. See, and when you're injured, when you're hurt, right? Physically, when you're hurt physically, you do what? You go to the doctor, right? When you're hurt physically, when you hurt bad enough, and it's been hurting you long enough, you go to the doctor. And then if necessary, you go to the hospital, right? That's what we do, right? But when you're broken spiritually and life is beating you down and everything you do seems to have some sort of turmoil around it and you just can't seem to get ahead, isn't that when you're supposed to turn to the church? Now watch this. The reason you go to the hospital is because the hospital has been proven. The hospital has been proven. Now, you don't go to any hospital, right? You don't just go to any hospital. You go to a hospital that you know has been proven. You know, I mean no harm, but, you know, it's like back in the day, you know, folk didn't want to go to, you know, you don't want to go to Garfield Hospital for an emergency. You don't want to go to back in the day, you didn't want to, when Loretta used to take emergency patients, you didn't want to go to Loretta for emergencies. You didn't want to do that. And now you have your choice of where you want to go. You know, I was always wondering, you know, if you want to go to, you know, Cook County back in the day, and I believe, oh, now it's called Stroger, I believe had the number one or number two burn unit in the country. So if you were suffering from burns, you needed to be at Cook County because they had the number one burn unit. And then I believe they also used to have the number one cardiac unit in the country. I said cardiatic, yeah, I know. See, y'all ain't gonna never catch me. I'm gonna always correct myself. But they had the number one cardiac unit. And so if you were suffering any type of heart issues, that's where you wanted to go. So when there's spiritual issues and all this stuff going on, why aren't people flocking to your churches? Let me read a statement because somebody wants to go back to the previous conversation. Pastor Robert Johnson says this. Let me get this a little closer so I can read that. He says, this guy, Andrew, his statement shifted attention of what happened to the Crown Plaza and the Rosemont Police, which caused a large group of young peaceful protesters that was at the Crown Plaza last night to an almost violent situation. Wow. I get it. Thank you, Pastor, for the clarity. Thank you. But yeah. And when you gonna be available to come on the show, man, Pastor Robert L. Johnson? I had Angela here a couple times. When you coming? But I'm curious. I'm just curious as to why people aren't flocking to the one place where they should feel like they can get some answers and some help. Why aren't they flocking to the one place where they feel like there's an opportunity for me to get my mind at ease, for me to be at peace and bring some joy back into my life. Why are people flocking to this place called church? It's a question. I got one answer. Kim Tony says, more disappointment and hurt catastrophe stems from church than society nowadays. In some cases, you are absolutely correct. You got a whole lot of folks that's been burned by the church or some church. But you know what, Kim? I'm not even talking about those people. I think it's more of the people who are on the outside who have heard that they should go to church. But based on what they've seen from the church, they don't trust the church. Based on the lack of community engagement from the church, they don't trust the church. Based on the church having the appearance of being for self only, they don't trust the church. So you know, it's kind of like one of those things where you're telling people, here, just come and we'll help you, but your track record doesn't say that. Now, I'm not talking about all churches. I'm just talking about all these empty churches. You know, your church can hold 200, but you got 40 that show up. Your church can hold 500, you got 60, you got 30 that show up. Your church can hold 1,200, you got 65 to 100 that actually show up. But you're in a community that's dying and hurting, but yet the community won't even consider coming inside your doors. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is that the community decides we ain't going there? Maybe it's because the community has seen you do nothing. Maybe it's because the community don't see you out actually offering to help anybody. Is that why nobody's coming? Is that why nobody's coming? Is that why nobody's taking an opportunity to come and see what you got to offer? Or maybe, here's a question: could it be that you have nothing to offer? That was just a question I wanted to jump into. I know it's Praise Break Friday. I know we started off the show with this madness with this little girl and this community dude and all this other stuff, but it was just a question I felt I needed to ask, because in times like these, is this not the time where people should be flocking to the church? In times like these. I know if I was to fall and cut myself and I couldn't stop the bleeding on my own physically, that I would run to the nearest emergency room, right? I know that if I fell and I twisted my ankle and I could not walk appropriately where I felt like I could do some and without re-injuring myself, I would go to a doctor. Well, where are people supposed to go who feel spiritually downtrodden, who feel like the world is closing in on them and there is no release? Should they not be running to the church? My twin Angela Johnson says, so how do we change that dynamic? How? She says, on the other hand, on the other hand, are on burnout with being flipped, robbed, and only one family is sometimes benefiting. Yeah. Yeah. I had a conversation with some people yesterday, and one of the things came up about when churches can become so family oriented that there leaves no room for outsiders. Because when you build churches based on family, how do those who are not a part of the family interact? Where is the place for those who aren't necessarily a part of your family? Where is the place for those who don't share your DNA? Where is the place for those who didn't come up with your culture? Where is the place for those where is the place for those who don't know anything about this culture that you speak of, who never experienced it? So all they hear are the fairy tales that you continue to tell. Where is the place for those people? Kim Tony says, we failed, but we do not have the insight to go back to basics. It needs to be a grassroots effort. Yes. Yes. God bless you. Hello, Marissa Williams. God bless you. Hopefully everything is well with you down in Florida. Hopefully everything is well with you and your family. Praying, we were praying for you. I think you're absolutely right. We do need to get back to basics. We don't need to add a lot of fluff. We don't need to add a lot of things, but we do need to get back to basics. And it's kind of, and I'm saying this because it's going to bring us back to our article, our conversation today about the effects of praise. We don't recognize what that means. Angela says, "Wow, ain't that who is for the down and the downtrodden? Let's go back to say, yeah, yeah." People throw this term around a lot, a shepherd. This is what a shepherd should do. And this is what a shepherd needs to do this and a shepherd needs to do that. Here is the deal. Sheep need to realize that they're sheep, first of all, and that you ain't the shepherd, sheep. Sheep need to realize that, first of all, sheep have to have a want to be shepherded, first of all. And you need to go about, if you already know, you've been in church 45, 46, 55 years, but yet you're still keeping up the same mess you were keeping up 20 years ago. You still fighting with folk. You still arguing with folk. You still going around talking about folk. And you expect your church to change when you're still doing the same things you were doing 25 years ago? Why would anybody want to come and be a part of that? What's in that? What are you really offering? I can get mess at work. I can get mess on the street. I can get mess on the internet. I shouldn't have to come to church for mess. Oh, my goodness. I just said something about myself. Shout, Dana. I'm just saying, I can go anywhere else for mess. The sanctuary that should house the very presence of God. The sanctuary that should house the very presence of God. Is not a place where I should feel like I got to come and be on guard. That's where I should be able to come and just give myself right there in the presence of God. But instead I can't, because if I give too much of myself away, you might see some of my flaws. And the next thing I know, it's a social media post. Well, you just sent 10 text messages. Instead of praying for me, you're praying on me. Instead of praying for me, you're praying at me. See, we got a whole lot of preachers in pulpits who are praying at people. Don't pray at me, pray for me. I'm going to move on. We're gonna jump into today's article. I got, 25 minutes. Excuse me. I got 25 minutes. We're going to jump into today's article. And it's good. It's good, y'all. The effects of praise. The effects of praise. Let me get this thing up on this here computer on this side, and we're going to be all right on this here side of the game. But I asked that question, and it was a sincere question. Oh, let me read this note from Marissa, y'all. For those of you who don't know, Marissa Williams, one of our faithful listeners, was down in Florida. She says, "I survived Irma. Thank you all for the effectual and fervent prayers of the righteous." God bless you all. It was a rough 3 days. Tornadoes were constant, but God. Yes! Look at that. My God. Now, if that don't give somebody a shout right there, let me read it again. She says, "I survived Irma, and thank you all for the effectual and fervent prayers of the righteous." She said, "God bless you all." She's talking to y'all, TTLO family. She says, "It was a rough 3 days. Tornadoes were constant, but God." Yes! Now that somebody should have shouted themselves happy right there. But God, see, that's testimony. That's testimony. In spite of everything that was going on, but God. Like Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's well, come on now. That's what it's about. So God bless you, Marissa. I'm glad everything worked out for you. God bless you. Angela Johnson says this: what are you offering? On the other hand, I am the church. All of us are ministers commanded to go and compel men. Yeah. See, that's the question I ask all the time. After your program is over, what are you offering? After Family and Friends Day ends, what are you offering? After Men's Day ends, what are you offering? After Women's Day ends, what are you offering? After your anniversary ends, what are you offering? What is there for someone coming straight out the world at your church? What can people get from what does your church have to offer? What version of Jesus are you offering people? Because, see, it's time out for just preaching people happy. Folks done been preached happy. They done did all of this stuff. But at the end of their happiness, at the end of shouting, at the end of dancing, you still got to go home to mess. And real talk, I'm not attacking no preacher, no pastor, so don't come at me with that. But I think we done preached and shouted people so much that we've preached them into delirium, and we're not helping them change their lives. I like a good shout and a good praise just like the next person. But after all that shouting is done, then what? I made this comment the other day. If your husband is whooping your behind 2 days, 3, 4 days a week, and both of y'all go to the same church, right? And he whooping your behind, he upside your head 2, 3 days a week. But at church, y'all both in there shouting and hopping like crazy. But by the time you get home, the minute you say something wrong, he back upside your head again. What the hell was you shouting for? Help me. What was the purpose of your praise? So that's why I have to ask. What are we teaching our people? Are we just teaching them how to shout and call it a day? We teaching y'all how to do the holy dance and the holy clap and all of that and shake tambourines, but their lives are not being changed. No one is being transformed. Everybody's still going right back to where they were before. You ought to be able to see some changes in some people's lives. There ought to be some changes in some attitudes. Your language ought to change. Oh, my God. The way you talk ought to change. The conversations you have ought to change. How you treat people ought to change. But when you say I went to church and all see, this is why the world don't want to come in, because the world see you in your true self. See, we at church see one version. Oh my God, help me, Holy Ghost. We at church see one version, but the world gets to see the real you. See, we get to see you at work and how you cussing out this one and how you talking about this one. They don't get to see you at, you know, when you start talking about church, they like, what church you go to? Who your pastor is? Do your pastor know that you talk to folk like this? Do the usher board know? You know, your mom is the what? She the head usher? Your daddy is the chairman of the deacon board? Your mama the first lady or whoever else? And do they notice how you act? But then you got the nerve to turn around and try to invite folks to the church. I'm just curious. when do the lifestyle start to change? It's like if you have bad spending habits, right? Let's say you got really bad spending habits, like you can't keep a dime, right? You got bad spending habits, and then all of a sudden you get $1 million. Your spending habits didn't change. You just got access to become a bigger fool than you was before you had $1 million. That's all. There has to be a change in lifestyle. It's like people who decide when they're going to eat right, right? When they decide it's not about all these crash diets, when they actually make a lifestyle change. That means I am going to, it's like, okay, you know what, we talk about fasting and praying all the time. Fasting is when I say, you know what, I'm going to put myself at a personal inconvenience for this thing. I'm going to personally inconvenience and sacrifice my wants for this thing, meaning I'm going to change my lifestyle. Yes, I like fried food, but I understand that if I change my lifestyle, that it will work for me down the line for the better. And then you'll start to see evidence of the lifestyle change. If I stop eating candy all day, if I stop doing these things and that things, you will start to see some evidence, some fruit from all of this church. But when you do all of this quote unquote stuff, and then there's no fruit, are you really changing lifestyle? That's why I always try to talk about culture versus atmosphere. See, a lot of what's wrong in our churches is culture. See, we love to set the atmosphere. We love to change it and move things around so that the presence of God can be manifest, so we can actually see the manifested glory of God. That's shifting the atmosphere. But if you really want to see lives change, you got to change the culture. And culture change don't happen in an hour and 25-minute worship service. Help me, Holy Ghost. Culture change don't happen in 2 hours. See, we like to do a lot of pruning in the church. And some stuff in the church don't need to be pruned. It needs to be uprooted. Oh, my God. See, we need to get down into the real issue. See, we want to keep just, well, you know, that's a bad branch. Let's just cut that one off. And no, some trees need to be uprooted. Oof, my God. You ever seen a We need to get out of this mess of just trying to clean things up for the sake of cleaning things up. See, roots go deep down into the ground. You just can't pull it up. You got to do some digging, right? And you got to see, watch this. When you get down in there, you just can't do it blindly. You got to go down in there and dig around and see just how far these roots reach. Because if you pull it up the wrong way, you tap some stuff that you didn't intend on tearing up. But so you got to focus right down on where is this bad element. And then you got to start to work on that thing from the root. You just can't cut it off. You got to snatch that thing up. All the pruning in the world don't fix the problem underneath. All the surface cleaning don't clean up underneath. David didn't just tear his clothes off and put sackcloth and ashes and all this stuff on his head when he realized he had failed the Lord. That's not what he did. David didn't say, give me some new clothes, give me a clean outfit. David said, give me a clean heart. Oh, my God. And I think that's what's wrong with our churches. Our churches, some of our churches are lacking a clean heart. David said, renew the right spirit in me. That's what he said. He said, give me a new outfit to put on because I didn't mess this one up. And if I put on the new outfit, then I'll be okay. All you're doing is putting on. I told y'all this before. You can get all the new suits in the world. I don't care if it's Versace, if it's Armani, if it's St. John. I don't care what it is. If you're not cleaning your body, then all you're doing is putting a new suit over dirt. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. All you're doing is covering up mess. Y'all pray for me because I'm just going to go there. Sometimes what happens in the church is the equivalent of getting up off the toilet without wiping your behind. I'm just going to say it like that. Sometimes in the church, instead of us doing what's necessary to get stuff clean, we're just going to pull up our pants and keep going. And then we wonder what this smell is that's done permeated the church. We wonder what's this thing that done grasped hold of the church, and how come we can't figure out what it is? Because everybody walking around nasty. I said it. And then in the same breath, well, what do you think is necessary for our church to grow? Huh? Look in the mirror. Ask yourself this question. What are you doing that's causing it not to grow?
That's the better question. Stop asking why it won't grow. Ask yourself this question. What are you doing that's causing it not to grow? It's like if you get a plant, right? And the plant comes with instructions. You know, if you buy a plant at the Home Depot or wherever you get your plants from, and it has a little stem in there, the little piece of paper, you know, and on it, it tells you, you know, needs much sunlight, does not need much sunlight, needs very little water, needs lots of water, should water, you know, daily or whatever. It gives you those instructions. Now, you can go buy the plant and then do what you want to do. Don't read the directions. See, that's us in the church. We show up at the church, never open up the directions. Oh, my God. We never actually read the directions, but we just show up and do what we want to do. Then we wonder why there's little to no growth. And then we wonder why folks are just dying off because nobody wants to read the doggone instruction manual. Oh, my God, I could preach this if somebody would. We wonder why nothing is working the way it should work because we're just putting stuff together without reading the instructions. You know how we do, brothers. Y'all know, men, come on. I'm gonna pick on y'all for a minute. Y'all know how we do. We like to get, you know, back in the day when we was buying those big entertainment centers. And, you know, when y'all was getting them from down to the Target, and y'all know them big wall units we used to buy and put together that we would put the TV in the middle, and then it had the shelves to put your VCR, your DVD player, your cable box, your video game. Then it had the spot for all of your DVDs. You remember them things, right? And 9 times out of 10, we wouldn't read the instructions, right? We wouldn't read the instructions. What we would end up doing is we would look at the box, and we would go, oh, I can put this together. Right. Based off of just what we see, not off what we know, but what we see. Right. So that's the same thing we're doing in the church. A lot of us are coming to church and not reading the instruction manual. So we come in and by not reading, we kind of just play it by ear. We do what we want to do. We do a whole lot of ad-libbing in the church when the Bible is giving us specific direction and instruction on what we should do and how we should carry ourselves. So we're doing a lot of our habits and stuff that we're doing is based off what somebody else told us. We never took the time to read the instruction manual. Help me, God. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me right now. We spend so much time just trying to keep up. Well, you know, mama said we do it like this. That's fine. Great-granddaddy said you ought to pray. Like, great-granddaddy got a fourth-grade education. Don't you think you ought to do some reading for yourself? Come on. Come on, people. You cannot. There is nothing you can do in God's kingdom, if you ain't following his instruction, you just out there doing whatever. You a rogue. As a friend of the show, Pastor Reggie Royal says, you got a whole lot of rogues out here who don't want to follow instruction, who don't want to submit to anybody. They just want to just sit and they want to do what they want to do and start whatever they want to start without any real instruction from God. And because they never sat under any real instruction, now they're just out there doing whatever, causing hurt, harm, and danger to everybody that they preach and teach to. I asked this question. I've asked it before. How many of you all would go to a surgeon, oh, my God, who ain't, if you knew you was going to be his first surgery? What if when you went to the doctor, right, and you knew you was going to have surgery, and they had a list up, right, they had his information up, and on the thing it said, Brother Dr. Andrew so-and-so, surgeries completed, 0. And unfortunately, that's what some of y'all are walking into. These people have no fruit behind them. There's been no fruit produced. Where is the fruit? I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to get to this article, but it's really a good article. We're gonna hold on to it. But I'm sorry, man. I want y'all to help me with this situation because we keep missing the mark. We keep missing the mark on the purpose of why God placed us in these communities. He didn't place you in the heart of the hood just so you and your folk in the church, that you and your church members can get happy. He placed you there for a strategic purpose. God doesn't do anything happenstance. Everything God does is strategic. And watch this. Even the stuff that he allows to happen is strategic. Oh, my. Don't miss that. Even the bad things that he allows to happen is strategic. That's why a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned this to you all, don't miss the signs. Don't miss the opportunities that are being placed in front of you. For churches that are in communities like the one that my church sits in, and churches on the south side of Chicago, for those of you who sit in those areas, in those communities, you are in a prime area for harvesting. But yet you just, that's like, watch this, that's like you being a farmer and you going out into the field and just going straight to the area that you know of and ignoring everything else around you because it looks too difficult. That ground is too hard for me to till, so I'm just going to ignore it. I don't know what's on the other side of that, or over there where that grass is growing. So, but I know what I know. This over here is going to continue to produce enough for me to survive. So I'm going to just keep planting over here in this same little area because this right here is just enough to keep us surviving. When God has placed you in a field where you can just continue to plant and sow seeds, but instead of you sowing, you're just going to keep going to this same little area. How long do you think that's going to work out for you? How long are you going to keep going back to the same well when God is saying, guess what? Dig a new well. You know what they found out in Africa? Remember when years ago we did the whole feed the world, We Are the World? You know, the whole thing when all the people got together, you know, we are the world, we are the children. You know, that whole thing, feed for the something for Africa. I forget what it was called. But that whole thing. And we found out because, you know, all this dry stuff. But what people started finding out was you can go over there and just start digging some wells. There is water, but you got to work for it. You got to work for it. Dig some wells. Because you're in this one area over here, and you done dug a well, and now everybody done used it up, but you're going to keep it every now and then. It starts to replenish itself. But rather, why not just go and dig some new wells? Come on, church. Dig some new wells. Science and geology tells us that the earth is covered with 2/3 of water. Dig a well. Start digging. Start sowing some seeds in some new areas. You can't keep expecting a harvest in the same area when you're not sowing any new seeds. We want a harvest and we ain't sowing. Oh my God. We want fruit but won't drop a seed. And I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about planting the word of God in the very community that your church is in. Sowing some real seeds, then you'll start to see some lives changing. Then you'll start to see some people with, then you'll start to see the anointing flow. You think God gonna continue to flow in this half-hearted mess we put together every other week whenever we so-called feel like it? You think he gonna bless that mess? See, what's going to happen is God going to say, you know what, if y'all, you know what, y'all comfortable, go ahead, be comfortable. And I'm gonna put blessings, I'm going to just store yours over here, right? And or I might just give them to somebody else. Y'all know about the parable of the talents. You ain't going to use it, so I'm going to give yours to somebody else. I'm going to let somebody else come into this field and harvest what's out here. I'm going to let somebody else come over here because obviously you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. It's not that you're incapable of doing it. You're making the conscious choice not to do it. God ain't going to bless that. That's not who he is. It's not the way he works. My Bible says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works. Meaning you can say, God, I know you're going to do a thing. God, I know you're going to grow this place. And Lord, I just believe you're going to send 1,000 upon 1,000. And God, you're going to give us this place. And God, you're going to build us a senior center. And God, you're going to do this. And God, you're going to do that. And then after you get done with all this, God, you're gone. God, you're gone. God, you're gone. You go back to doing what you was doing. Nothing. And then it's going to be 5 years down the line, and you're still going to be praying, God, I believe you're going to do this thing. And God, I see this thing in my future. God, my later is better than what's, you know, than my greater, and all of this and all that. And then 5 more years are passing. God, I still believe you're going to do this thing. And in them 15 years, you ain't done nothing to position yourself to be prepared to receive it. I said this to some folk the other day. We need to stop praying for what we're not prepared for. God ain't going to bless nobody with something that they're not prepared to handle. That's why you ain't got it yet. It's time for me to go. Father God, we just bless you, Lord, for who you are. God, we worship you, God, just simply for who you are. God, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your sustaining power, God. We thank you for the covering that you placed over our sister Marissa Williams down there in Florida, God. We thank you for the covering of her family that was also down there, God. We thank you for the covering of all of those individuals that you covered throughout this storm. Yes, they lost property, God, but you did not let them lose their lives. Yes, they lost some material things, God, but you kept their souls and their spirits intact, God. So, God, we thank you right now for that. Now, God, we ask that you would continue to bless the family of our sister Kanika Jenkins right now, God. We ask that you would bless her mother right now, God. We know that she's going through a hard time, God, but we ask that you would just do something, God, and let her know, God, that you are still sitting on the throne, God, and send her some real confidence, God. God, we ask that you would send a real man of God to that family, God, and let that person be the one, God, to come on your behalf, God. Let them be the intercessor, God, so that you can come and show yourself to be who you are, God. We ask right now, God, that you would continue to sustain and bless that family through this trial, God. Then, God, we ask that you would shine a light on whatever may have caused this child's death, God. That you would shine a light as bright as the sun right now, God, on whatever happens on this situation, God, so that hearts can be made clear and minds can be set at ease, God. God, right now, we ask that you would continue to bless our students as they make their ways to and from school at the beginning of this school year, God. We ask that you would cover them as they go to and fro. Now, God, we ask for traveling mercy for myself, God, and for all of those listeners, God. God, we ask for increase for those who are at work right now, God. May you see increase, God. May you give them the blessings and the desires of their heart, if it be in your will. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been awesome. It's been great. I appreciate y'all. I got to go. I know some folk just got in. You real late, but it's going to be all right. But I got to go. It's been a good time, y'all. I got to go. I will see y'all on Monday, Missional Monday. Y'all stay blessed and stay, and you know how I do. If you got to be in this city, we call Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. TT, LO, we got to go. Peace.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house. Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all